Off the Ball Breakfast.
Your projection now around this conversation.
No, we're not projecting. I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
Gosh, what else would you be doing on a day like today? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night with me, Cameron Hill, in partnership with Rockshore 00 on Off the Ball. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Lots and lots to discuss from tonight, from the week that was in League of Ireland land. So I'm delighted to have you all along. Such a great evening of football. Hopefully people are out and about enjoying it out in the summer sun. It is also, of course, Wimbledon finals weekend. So I'm delighted to be joined by a man just serving up aces. That's Shane Keegan. Good evening.
I like that one. Very, very nice. How are you keeping, Cameron?
Not too bad. We're also joined by the man, the top seed, who gets knocked out in the first round, Johnny Ward.
You're on mute, Johnny.
He's laughing on the inside, surely. That's all that is.
He's annoyed now. He's not talking to you.
He's not talking to me. Fair enough. I had that going for quite a while. Let's go through some of the results tonight. So before we get into some callers, just to bring you through what's happened tonight, first off. So Bohemians 3-0 winners over Galway United. Douglas James Taylor getting his first goal for the club since signing from Drogheda United. And a great goal it was too. If you haven't seen it back yet, definitely worth checking it out online. Jamie Clark getting the brace for that 3-0 win, which moves them up to second, a point ahead of Derry, ahead of them playing tomorrow against Sligo Rovers. And Waterford have climbed above Galway in the standings into seventh, courtesy of a 2-0 win over Cork City. We might get some Cork City fans coming on to us here about that first goal, because it certainly feels like they might have had an argument for Evan McLaughlin to have been fouled in the build-up. But more on that anon, I'm sure. In the first division, it finished Bray Wanderers 2, Dundalk 0, Treaty United 2, Cove Ramblers 1, UCD 3, Finn Harps 1, and Wexford Athlone Town finished scoreless. And then to bring you up to speed on what happened in Europe, in case you missed it. So Shelburne were 1-0 winners in the first leg of their Champions League first round match against Linfield on Wednesday. And Pats were 1-0 winners over Hegelmann of Lithuania, an Aidan Keane penalty, getting their first goal in four games, Pats, as they take the advantage over to Lithuania into the second leg. Shane, with no televised game tonight, what were you keeping an eye on?
I went with the screen-hopping approach, I suppose. Cameron, bouncing around between a few bits, took the opportunity to deep dive into the first division again, where we had a couple of shock results, for sure, as you've called out there. Missed opportunity for Cove. But yeah, got a good chunk of that outstanding Bohemians performance in, to be honest with you. I thought they were just looking better and better at the moment with every passing week. We thought it looked for a while as though James Clark was going to be departing the league. I'd say every Bohemians fan out there is absolutely thanking their lucky stars that that's not the case so far, and hopefully may continue not to be the case, because he is, Cameron, he is such a good player. He really, really is. And having James Douglas Taylor to work off now makes him look all the better a player, to be honest with you. So yeah, look, they're the big winners from tonight. Cork, the big losers, that's for sure. And I think quite a bit of aggro at the final whistle. I think they went over to the away fans to kind of, you know, applaud them, but I don't think they got applauded back. And I think apparently there was a division, a cordon had to be created by the stewards down there to try and separate the players and the supporters. So not good.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like it might get nasty from that point of view. It does not look good for a Cork City perspective at all. And who knows, given the way Sligo Rovers have been able to put it up to teams, and based on last Saturday's performance, they could manage a result against Derry tomorrow, which would further deepen Cork's woes. If you guys want to get in touch tonight and you have any League of Ireland thoughts to get off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. So request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left-hand corner there, and we'll get you on the line as soon as we can. As Irish Chancellor has done, We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he was full value for it. So, good evening, Irish Chancellor. How are you? Not too bad. Not too bad. You sound like you've been enjoying the sun.
Oh, I haven't, did. Well, besides the fact I'm currently cooked a medium rare, yeah? Not able for this heat, but I'm absolutely fabulous. Thank you for asking. Hope you've all been enjoying the sun as well, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what were you enjoying from a League of Ireland perspective tonight? Because Rovers weren't playing, of course. They have...
They were.
Not in a League of Ireland.
Apologies. You were playing a friendly.
Irish Chancellor in Tala for the game this evening.
I wasn't there, can confirm. Let me go over some things, right? So let's start with last Saturday. What the hell was that, lads? Right, I'm gonna start with the negatives so I can move on to the positives. You get me? So listen, last Saturday against the fake Rovers, obviously that was a blip in time. I don't know what happened. For the first 10 minutes, we played like a wheel of Parmesan cheese. I can't exactly describe it. We were flaky. We were almost flavourless. It was absolutely scandalous. I would not put that performance on my spaghetti if it begged me. That was absolutely disgraceful. We were falling apart like raw noodles. 2 goals to Sligo. They were 2-0 up. I was like, ah, here, lads. I almost turned my TV off, but I'm not an unfaithful fan. Stuck to it. Obviously, we performed much, much better in the second half. John McGovern did get on the pitch, but unfortunately didn't make that big a performance, but he definitely redeemed himself tonight. But my man of the match against Sligo for Rovers would have been probably Josh Honan. He was brilliant. He was up and down the pitch. Obviously, got the goal for us, like, that equalised the game. Normally, any other week, I would have said Danny Grant, but unfortunately, listen, as much as I love the fella, he was absolutely brilliant. I love Danny. Put in the miles. What a fella. Anyway, tonight's game, we played a completely different formation, a completely different style against Glenavon from Northern Ireland. And of course, we went ahead and smashed them. Well, it wasn't really smashed them. The scoreline does not tell the story, folks. But it was another great week for the Trialist family as they scored. They got 3 players on the pitch, the Trialist family. They must be proud. But it was a 2-1 win tonight with John McGovern picking up both the goals in the first 7 minutes. He was absolutely lethal in front of goal. He finished that. I swear to God, listen, if he was a FIFA card, I'd put him on 99 shooting. That was absolutely brilliant. Within the first 100 seconds, he was up and down, bang, goal. It was like a game of foosball with him on the pitch. Obviously, he had Victor Ossian-Vilna to the left of him, I believe, and Danny Grant to the right of him, and they supplied. They absolutely done it. We put in the work. This new 3-4-3 formation that we tried absolutely worked. It's way better than the 5-3-2 we're used to. And I think if Stephen Bradley sticks with that 3-4-3, or maybe that 4-2-3-1 he tried a week ago or two, I think we can qualify for the Conference League again, go far in Europe, and obviously look at where we are on the table. Like, Bohemians are our only slight challenger, unfortunately, but I think overall, if we keep up with these new formations that have absolutely been working, and look at the youth we have in the squad, the young talent, we will win the league. Like, obviously, we win the league a lot, like, but I think we absolutely have the strength and the depth to go ahead and do it again. And then the Conference League, that will be the story of this season.
There you are, Cameron. You thought we weren't going to have any Shamrock Rovers talk tonight, huh?
Yeah, eat that one, Cameron.
Oh, Janie, I've egg all over my face here. I was gonna ask if there was any doubts after last Friday. I'm reaching here. It really does feel like Rovers are gonna cruise to it here. I was gonna ask if you have any doubts, but it's like Irish Chancellor, it seems like you've never had a self doubt in your life. But
I'm also signing rainbows, like.
But I mean, the league kind of wrapped. Like, it just feels like, what do you need to do? What's the priority now? Is it just to get back to the Conference League? Because it's not going to be the same as last year because you're not in the champions' path. Like, Johnny has brought it up a good few times. It was the width of a post against Vikingur in that first game in the Champions League that got you through. Otherwise, we could be talking totally different terms in terms of the hoops and their European success. Whereas this time round, you have to win 3 games. And, you know, depending on how the draw goes, it can be gimmies, it can be very, very difficult opposition. So, like, is that the full focus now at this stage with everyone in the league, unless Derry or Bowes can mount a challenge? It feels like the league's kind of ramped up.
I've 3 words for you. We're Shamrock Rovers. Of course, we'll go ahead and win them three games. I'm not going to say, we'll cruise to the Conference League, obviously, because as you said, it is different circumstances. We do have to take a completely different path in. But I think we absolutely have the strength. We have the numbers. We can absolutely go ahead and hopefully qualify for the Conference League. I am not even joking. I sat down last night with a pen and paper and scribbled out each path, each opponent that we could come up against. And I'd give ourselves a nice 45 to 50% chance of qualifying for the group stage. Then it obviously depends on the opponents, depends on who we get, and depends on how we perform. But with the new formations, as I said, we've absolutely been doing it. It's absolutely brilliant. And I just, about doubts about last Saturday, I think it was my man, natural man Andy Cabbage, who put up a post saying, when it comes to our defence, the big debate at the moment is Corey O'Sullivan or Daniel Cleary. And I do want to say, I think it's a very good debate. Obviously, two completely different players. Whenever we have Daniel Cleary on the pitch, we're a lot more attacking. Obviously, Daniel Cleary scores goals for some reason, despite the fact that we like play him. He's practically a second goalkeeper at this point. Ed McGuinty must be getting like lonely or something because he's always at the back post. But like Daniel Cleary, obviously, whenever we play him, we're a lot more attacking. We're a lot more forward focused. But whenever Corey O'Sullivan's on the pitch, he just bullies whoever comes to him. He's like, if somebody comes running to him, he just 1-2. Bang! Imagine Mortal Kombat. It's like a game of Street Fighter down there. We're very much more defensive minded and focused. Him and Matt Healy have some form of chemistry. It's like Walter White and Jesse Pinkman. But any doubts? I say, yeah, we need to stop leaguing. I think we need to hire a plumber to stop this leaguey defence. Mario and Luigi, please get on it. And I'm not talking about the gelato shop. But I think we will win the league. I am pretty confident in that. I'm pretty sure the whole league knows that at this point. I'm not trying to say that to come off as cocky, but like, the way we're going, no one can stop us. And in terms of Europe, it would be very interesting. It will be very interesting, as you said, with the different paths. And I'm just repeating myself here. But I think it'd be very entertaining. It would be a story to watch, obviously. Yeah, I covered it in the Shamrock Rovers Roundup. Just have to, like, put that in there. But that'll be it. Yeah, that's what I think.
Nice one, Irish Chancer. You're a tonic, as always. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Thank you very much, Nobot. It's always a pleasure.
I need a lie down after that, man. He's a tonic. I need a tonic. There's only a certain amount of energy I'm able for. Fair play to him.
Well, speaking of tonics, it feels like Bows have finally found what's cured their ills over the last couple of seasons, or certainly last season and the start of this season, Jane. I mean, how good was Douglas James Taylor tonight when he came on?
Yeah, listen, you know, sometimes a club is crying out for a player in a position and a certain skill set, and it's just identified and solved. And like that was I suppose, look, Shamrock, you'd wonder who else could have gone after him. Rovers obviously had their eyes on John McGovern early on. He's obviously scored twice tonight in a challenge game. I haven't seen as much of him as I would have seen as Douglas James Taylor, but I'm just surprised that if Douglas James Taylor was gettable, and you know, Rovers were another team who needed the centre forward, I'm surprised they didn't go after him, because you'd imagine they could probably have outbid Bowes if they needed to. But look, he's a super addition for them. He's exactly what they're missing, and he just takes their performance to another level.
Johnny, I assume this is the game you were watching tonight. And before we get into matters Galway United, because another difficult night for them, the departure of Moses from the scene is leaving you maybe 40 years in the wilderness, it feels. But Rob Cornwall going off for Bohemians tonight, obviously so, so missed last year. And Lee Kavanagh getting an injury and playing on. It seemed like Bowes maybe had used all their five subs, so we're happy enough to keep him on. But as much as we've talked about how good Bowes have been, if they have a centre-back crisis, they'll be right back where they were maybe 6 or 7 months ago.
Yeah, like Graham leaving was a big blow to Bowes, and you were sort of thinking then how are they going to recover from this. But you know, to be fair tonight, like Kavanagh came on 39 minutes. He was brilliant for the first goal. Like, he was really, really good. He ran into space. But I do look at that performance and, you know, wonder, was it more so what Galway United were not capable of relative to earlier in the season? Like, I couldn't go tonight. I was at the game earlier in the season when Moses got the two goals at Dalymount. They were really, you know, hostile towards Alan Reynolds afterwards. That scoreline was kind of flattering to Galway United. And I'd been saying for a while that I thought Bowes had good players. It just needed a bit of time. But the Galway United of that performance, like, I've had Bowes fans on to me tonight saying, how have Galway United become so poor? And that first goal, I was interested to get Shane's coaching perspective on it. That first goal allied to the James Clark goals. How do you pick up players coming into the box when you have all these players kind of picking up little pockets? Galway United sort of playing three at the back, where ultimately Greg Cunningham is kind of struggling. And for that first goal, Douglas James Taylor, he's way too much space. Like, he picks up the ball. So the two of them, the Cunningham and I'm not sure who the other player was, they're just basically kind of almost looking at each other. They stand. It's a sort of swivel and turn that he wouldn't get in a better game at all. And as much as it was a really good strike, it was a brilliant strike, I was also kind of like really disappointed in the defending. And then the other two goals, James Clark is a really, really good player. No wonder he's been linked with the move away. But again, he made it look quite kind of easy. I wouldn't mind the third goal, the game was over. The second goal, it's all very straightforward. You know, he has space in the box. But I thought defensively, we were poor. We were on a poor run of form now, to be honest. And our next game, we've Waterford at home, I think, next. That's become a big, big game. After that is Cork City. So you kind of imagine we get something against Cork. But the next two games are massive, because then we have a really difficult run of games. And at the moment, I think our top four credentials are probably falling away. I would be just a little bit worried looking down to see the likes of Sligo Rovers, obviously Waterford going ahead of us now where we're at. And when you bring in players that we have in the middle of the season, losing Moses, obviously having key players out injured, it can be a little bit difficult for the dressing room to kind of maintain that kind of harmony it had. But we just don't look very good at the moment. Their two performances back-to-back. Shaw had a brilliant overhead in the first half that could have put us ahead. Apart from that, though, we've been quite poor. And as for all our limitations, we kind of need to work really, really hard. And when we start giving away goals we did tonight, I think the sting has gone out of us a bit.
Yeah, no, like, I agree with you, Johnny. Like, James Douglas Taylor does deserve praise for the strike. But my immediate instinct on watching the goal was, you know, he receives the ball, but he's back to play. Stay super tight to him there. Let him set it back. But whatever you do, don't allow him to turn there. There's, you know, he's within shooting range, and it's far, far, far too easy. You know, he doesn't have to pull off any fantastic piece of skill to get himself turned there. And then look, from there, it's a super strike. But yeah, Galway would have to be annoyed at that. The second goal, yeah, probably a bit loose in terms of picking him up. I would say, look, you can kind of give out to Galway for not tracking Dawson Devoy, but also you have to give Dawson Devoy a tremendous amount of praise. I mean, the run, he picks up the ball, if not in his own half, certainly pretty much in around the halfway line, and starts the move with one of his usual progressive passes. But, it's not as easy as pinpointing this kind of thing, but when Bowes were struggling, I would have a massive amount of time for Dawson Devoy. And when Bowes were struggling earlier in the season, I was kind of looking at him as a player that you wanted a bit more from. Like, he'd always give you a couple of really incisive passes and, you know, always look neat and tidy on the ball, but you wanted him to go and influence the play a little bit more. Like, the passes were build-up passes rather than assist passes. Whereas this time, as I say, he gives the pass and, you know, what is it, three passes later maybe, he's receiving the ball back 40, 50 yards further down the field than he played his initial pass. And then obviously the bit you would never doubt him for is that he has the coolness to lift his head and pick the right pass. But I just don't think he found himself, Cameron, in those advanced positions enough earlier in the season. Whereas he's done absolutely, but now it still took finishing. You know, an excellent finish from James Clark to open out his body in the way that he did. And then on the third one, like, you can say all you want, don't let him come inside, but that's easier said than done, you know?
Yeah, James Clark is just, he's always been a lovely player, but he's, as Paddy Cavanagh was saying in commentary, kind of does look faster with the ball at his feet, but he's developing into a really good player. I'd say Dawson, I'd imagine Stephen O'Donnell has had a big influence with him, because, like, I just thought watching, like, I haven't seen that much of Bowes in recent weeks. I thought against Pats, he was absolutely outstanding second half, like, a real dictating things from the centre of the pitch. And we're in a situation now where we probably have a Greg Cunningham problem, to be honest. Like, he's just, his legs seem to be kind of gone. He was taken off, obviously, in the heat in the second half. But, you know, he was such a big, big sign. And after playing, like, several games in the Championship going into the previous season, going into Galway United, and now his legs are, they look like they're kind of gone. And that's going to be a bit of a problem for JC, because, obviously, you know, do you drop him? But we don't look anywhere near as hard to play against. And I thought that first goal was symptomatic of where we're at the moment.
Good evening, Anthony. How are you?
How's it going?
Not too bad, not too bad. I assume you were down in Dalymount tonight.
I wasn't. I was in the south of France working this week, and I only got off a flight at 7:15, so I didn't make it in tonight. But I watched it. I made it home to watch it on the laptop.
Wow.
Yeah. So, basically, jump in to where he's left off there. Is there going to be a title race? Yes, and do you know who it's with? It's Shamrock Rovers against Shamrock Rovers, because the only people that can not win the league now is Shamrock Rovers if they have a bit of a meltdown. So it's, and that's I think that's a fair comment. What do you think?
Yeah. No, look, it, the problem is, as I said, if you were starting from 0 points each, let's say Bowes, Derry, Rovers, if you were starting from this point with this many games left and you had 0 points, you'd still make them favourites, would you?
Yeah.
And the problem is not starting with, can you hear that?
We can hear you're kind of jumping off there for a Shane.
Sorry. Poor.
No, I think we're losing him. But
I'm just giving my chance to get his line back. Yeah, so basically on tonight, I thought Bowes, we'll start with Galway, because I thought Galway looked strong the way they always do, and they looked like they were set up well, and they got through the first half, and I thought Bowes were poor enough in the first half with just retaining the ball in the final third. And I was kind of going, this is one of them nights where, like where the Waterford game or the Galway game in the first round of fixtures and the draw game, where Bowes just looked like they weren't at it. There was lots of 5 and 6 out of 10 performances around the pitch. And then the second half, I just thought Galway lacked that sort of energy in their legs. Is that a good way?
That's the thing, Anthony. Like the goal, until the goal is scored, like United are in a very good position. It's nil all, and you give up a goal like that, where as much as it's a great strike, there's no press at all on the play.
No, 100%. I totally agree with you, because I'd be pulling my hair out when I see goals like that. Because if you give anybody, and look, there's nothing taken away from the strike, but if you give anyone time, most players in the League of Ireland time, to turn on the edge of the box and have a second and get the back lift on it, you're gonna have 9 times out of 10, you're gonna have a goal. And that's kind of disappointing, the fact that Bowes didn't have to work for their lead in the game. And then you're on the back foot when you're set up like the way Galway set up, and Drogheda and a couple of the other teams in the League Shells from last year. Once you're 1-0 down, you have to start moving stuff around. And then the likes of Bowes, with their good players, they'll pick you off and they'll get the little pockets. But I said last week in the game, just to pick up on what you were saying about Dawson Devoy as well, like last week I was saying he was deep in the six, and Adam McDonald was getting into the advanced positions, and I kind of stopped myself short of saying, like, when Adam McDonald gets in them positions, it's kind of counterproductive, because he hasn't scored or set up a goal in 2 years. So when Dawson Devoy got into them positions today, it was just one square ball and it was on the feet of James Clark, and we're 2-0 and the game is over. So that's kind of where I was getting at last week when I was saying we need Devoy to be more, and again what Shane was saying, instead of passing the pass that passes to get you into the final third to give you the chance. By that stage, teams are set up and you're looking a bit magic to get a goal. But I suppose that's where we need to see Dawson Devoy if we have a fighting chance. And then the other side of it as well is, like, some average enough performances in the first half there for Bowes, and thought Rooney and McDonald were 5 and 6. Now they were trying hard, but the quality wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, you get a player like James Clark popping up in them positions and getting the goals, and he's been doing that a good bit in the last couple of weeks. It reminds me of maybe Aflabi a couple of years ago, hardly had a goal up until this point of the season, and then put on the afterburners and got a big move. If Clark can keep going up with that trajectory, while helping Bowes get into Europe, I don't know if he'll be good enough to get a Titan challenge out of him, but if we can get him keep on going on that trajectory, I can see him getting his big move over abroad. And I look, if we can get Parsons there and fit and flying again, we'll be strong in them positions. What do you think on that, lads?
Yeah, Shane, can I ask you on that, Shane, that if you look at the Bowes team, I remember talking to Alan Rillins early in the season, and he was saying how Stephen O'Donnell loves to innovate as a coach, like he's always looking for ideas, and they're basically a load of ballers all over the pitch. So their two fullbacks are effectively central midfielders, like, and Flores is as good a left foot as there is in the league. Morahan was basically a central midfielder, played there earlier in the season, first game against Shamrock Rovers, very good on the ball. And then I suppose Adam McDonald is massively important because of the work he has to do to allow Devoy and those offensive players to do their stuff. But they're an interesting side in terms of the way that they're kind of innovative when they have the ball, what the back four do, and what basically they've, it's very Stephen O'Donnell again, it's just ballers all over the pitch apart from the two centre backs.
Yeah, it is. And listen, I still think at times, and I think we might have spoken about this with Anthony before, there's still a little bit of a case of square pegs and round holes at times. Now maybe you're telling me that they're purposely choosing to put those square pegs and round holes to try new stuff. But I do still think they could do with one or two more players to give them the correct balance. Listen, we've said all along, we go back to the struggles, you know, I think most sane, reasonable people, you know, understood that that Bowes were going to come right. I can understand the fans' frustration. Obviously, of course you can, when you have that much talent and results weren't going well. But, like, there was always too much talent there for not to come right. And, they're just playing fantastic football. They definitely, to me, I still think they can improve defensively. I really do still think they can improve defensively. When you end up with right-footed left-backs, when you end up with, you know, Jordan's a good player, but he's not a centre half. When you end up with Jordan at centre back, you know, that still proves that the bit of depth is probably not there. And listen, you know, they've already lost their best centre half of the season so far. So I think they're flying it.
Kean Byrne is a decent player. Like, he was good for us.
Yeah. I think that's been a loss for you. Yeah, maybe he serves that purpose without them having to, like, that is a signing without making a signing, I suppose, Johnny, in fairness to them. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, well, won't hurt them anyway. It's just like I said before, like, you're bringing young lads in, they're a little bit hard on the slavish, and they can kind of, you're not going to win a league with a young centre-half. But just on the point, Shane, what you were saying there, like, I couldn't understand why John Mountney didn't start tonight in the sense of Galway's aerial threat. They've long throws, and Mountney be a big unit, and it give you that presence if nothing else. And I was just chatting with one of the lads there before I come on, and he was saying, like, the reason Mount's not playing is because if you watch Monaghan, he inverts into the middle and covers into the sixth position when Devoy and McDonald go walking about. And the same with Flores on the other side. And when the ball goes, without getting too into it, but when the ball goes over one side, they seem to have it's kind of three at the back scenario. And I'm thinking now that it's not square pegs and round holes so much, that they're actually trying to get a narrow and a kind of a Pep Guardiola style thing, where you have you naturally enough, when they don't have the ball, they come into midfield and push that kind of tree at the back. Where it will hurt them though is, in my opinion, is when you need a plan B, and when that plan doesn't work, or when you play up against a team that has it figured out, or you need to have, right, we're going to Tolka Park and it's narrow there, we need to play actual full backs to get them into the team and just play a flat back four. That's when I think, Lord, when we need to have a plan B or a plan C or be agile that we can swap it around. And I think that's where they'll need to go in 12 or 18 months in terms of progressing, is when they need to kind of be agile, I suppose. Well, that's my reading of it.
Yeah, well, on the back of that then, Andy, I'll ask you one question to finish up. Say, because obviously it would have been an easy question to answer before you brought in Douglas James Taylor, but now that you've already solved that problem, if you could prioritise signing a player for one position, what position would you go after?
I think what we already discussed, Shane, I think we're aligning centre-half.
Yeah.
I think if you bring in like a Connor Keeley or even somebody that's in and around, I don't mean them players as such, but someone of that stature, someone that's a 7, an 8 out of 10, that knows the league, that you know what you're good at. All right, you need, like, you know yourself, especially in this day and age, you're going to need four centre-halves, fit centre-halves. Like there's Cornwall.
Did he go off injured? He did.
He went off injured. Rolled his ankle. It looks, looked just from where I was looking at it, like he rolled it rather than stretch our job. It could be one of them 6 weeks, I'd say. That's what it looked like to me, you know. But, again, that just feeds into that. Like now you're going to be playing Flores centre half next week, but probably with one other. And that's not where you want to be going if you're looking to push on. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, exactly. To answer your question, Shane, I think we need a centre half, and everything else, and that's the backbone of your team. Everything else can be filled in. We're strong up to that point, numbers wise, and then we're strong up the pitch now that we have, after getting the extra couple of strikers in and players back fit like Parsons as well. That will be the key area, I think.
I'm with you.
Right, we'll leave it there for tonight, Anthony. Thank you so much for jumping on.
No bother, lads. Thanks.
Take it easy.
Cameron, can I just come in and ask on this, right? You're watching the highlights from the RSC. How is that Tommy Lonergan header not Pádraig Amond? Like, it was the most Pádraig Amond header ever. He scored the best headers. It was unbelievable. I was like, oh, another unbelievable goal from Amond. And then I was like, oh, no, he was actually involved in the build-up. And Lonergan, it was like this absolute belter of a header, like the impossible position, amazing power on it, and that's basically I can't.
Lads, have you seen the clip of the crack with the fans at the end? Have you seen this one doing the rounds yet?
No, tell us.
So the fans are shouting out at the Cork City players, and the Cork City players are standing there, and one fan, I'll tell you what, you'd question what the guards are doing. The guards are standing there and they've managed to completely all turn their back to one guy who decides that he's actually going to go down onto the pitch. Like, he goes down into the middle of the players and starts poking in their chest and the whole lot. But listen, I know there's an element of this not being funny, but it is impossible not to laugh as the MC decides that his song of choice is "I Predict a Riot."
Inspired stuff. Inspired. Who says there isn't humor in the world? That's great stuff. Thank you for that. We should try and get him on. Speaking of people we want to get on tonight, we haven't heard from Seagull Chat in quite a while on LOI Late Night. Certainly not with me hosting, but I guess beating the league leaders in the first division will bring anyone out of the woodwork. So Seagull Chat, good evening. Welcome to LOI Late Night. Welcome back.
Cheers, lads. Oh my God, what a game.
A good night.
First things first, almost 1,800 at the Carlisle. And I think I've mentioned this story before, but again, 6-7 years ago, I remember playing against Sligo when there was 266 people there, and 100 of which were Sligo fans. So, you know, it puts it in perspective.
Fill us in on tonight's performance, Seagull. Absolutely super result, obviously. Absolutely. But how did they do it?
Oh, my God. So this was Jose Mourinho times 100. I don't think we'd a shot on target before our penalty. I mean, Dundalk did everything but put the ball in the back of the net for the first 40 minutes. And then out of nowhere, who else? Of course, Billy O'Neill goes up and gets a penalty. I haven't watched it back, but most Dundalk fans seem pretty aggrieved that it was A, given as a penalty, and B, given as a foul at all. So I don't know. But anyway, we found ourselves in front, and then the second half was a defensive masterclass. I mean, Jimmy Corcoran, Killian Cantwell, and Paul Murphy, those three were, they could block Haley's Comet from striking the earth.
So is it on? Can you what's in it now? I'm scrambling here to find the first.
We're only six behind now. Cove losing tonight was a big one as well. I think they're either five or four behind now.
It's 4-2 at the moment.
Right. So yeah, no, it is very much on. I mean, Bray have to play Cove two more times and Dundalk one more time. So the thing is, as a Bray fan, I'd back us to be honest, beat Cove those two times and Dundalk that last time. But what would concern me more is, you know, dropping points against, you know, a mid to low table team. Because I mean,
yeah, that little blip you had is a killer now, isn't it? You went three defeats in a row, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it was only arrested, and I mean, you know, that was against, you know, like the likes
Kerry.
Of
Kerry was
Kerry,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those games was against Kerry, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, that was probably the worst game of football, both in general, but performance from us as well, since the first couple of games of the season. So no, I mean, listen, if the lads can lock in and we can avoid injuries, then it is absolutely game on again, especially because we've a total of three games against the two teams above us.
What was the buzz like there tonight, Seagull, in the ground?
Again, best in a very long time. The the ultras have, a good amount of the ultras have either been allowed back in, or they've, the ones that were allowed, still allowed in from before, the you know, they've started to congregate again in the short side of the stand. So no, there is a decent atmosphere again, because again, that was one of the complaints, because I mean, with how many people were banned and for the past year and a half, even when we were getting good attendances, the atmosphere was a bit flat, let's just say. And but no, it was buzzing tonight, and you know, honestly fantastic. The one black mark on it, speaking of crowd trouble before, during half time, a few Dundalk fans decided to come over and try and give it large, and they were pushing around, you know, 8 and 9 year olds. No, other than that, as good as an evening as you can get.
Is my man Billy O'Neill still playing well, Seagull?
He absolutely, yeah. Just running again, he won us the penalty, and then he assisted the final goal. It was actually, comparatively, it was a quieter night for him. And, you know, winning an assist and winning a penalty is a quieter night for him, can be a quiet night for him. Because again, we were playing pure tower defense for the entire, for essentially that entire game. But no, I mean, happy as we are, it's also very, really good for the league as well. The fact that it's this competitive with what, 9-8 games to go.
Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, it certainly felt for ages there that it was Dundalk to lose and then everyone else looking for the playoff. Whereas now, there's a real sort of divide. If you look at that table right now, there's 10 points between you and fourth place Treaty United. So it does feel like there's very much a top three and then a bottom seven as it stands, and maybe alone on their own down there. But yeah,
I mean, when you think about it though, I mean, Cove have had three games against Dundalk. They've lost all three, and each one of those three was to, if they had won, they would have gone ahead of Dundalk. So, I mean, Dundalk haven't nearly been running away with it for a while. And I think their fans would tell you their main frustration hasn't been the big games. It's been, you know, dropping points. You know, I think they've dropped 5 or 6 points so far against Treaty, you know, I think 2 against Wexford. So, you know, here, there, and everywhere, they're not losing a lot of games, but they are drawing much more than you'd expect them to. So no, it's still absolutely competitive, and hopefully it'll be competitive right to the last game.
The surprising one for me, I think I've mentioned it before, and it's becoming even more like Wexford Seagull. That, like, I even again, you know, you'd be scrolling through the starting 11s when they're announced there at 6:45 or whatever, and I looked at the Wexford starting 11, and like I would look at that 11. If you told me that's the starting 11 of a team that are in the top three, I would have said, yeah, I would fully expect that starting 11 to be in the top three. And it looks like there's now a 6-point gap. It looks like we're going to miss out in the playoffs altogether.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, dropping points to that Athlone team is diabolical in whatever way you put it. But, I mean, no offence to them, but their fans will tell you that as well. But, no, absolutely, something hasn't clicked. And even though they've brought in a huge amount of players, they're still far too reliant on Mikey Rowe and the other lad is
Aaron Dobbs.
Yeah. So, and I mean, Aaron Dobbs wasn't playing against us last week, and it showed. I mean, we only won 1-0, but we could have played for 900 minutes, and it would have still been 1-0. So they just haven't diversified as much, and you know what, again, they played when they beat us 2-1 a month and a half ago. That was a much better performance than has been the average, but when us beating them 1-0 last week, that was very much an average performance for them. So there just seems to be a really very slow team, which, listen, they have the potential. I mean, they, you know, they came 1-4-3 being 3-1 down with 10 men, but I don't know, they don't seem to play with a huge amount of pace. And again, when you take one of the two of Aaron Dobbs or Mikey Rowe, they're not particularly threatening.
Fair play,
Seagull. Thanks a million for jumping on again.
Anyway, cheers, lads.
May the good times roll. Yeah, it's certainly of all the grounds, even around the League of Ireland tonight, I don't think you could have picked a better place than the Carlisle grounds right on the seaside to have taken in a League of Ireland game. And what a night it could be for Bray, depending on how things go for Katie Taylor at Madison Square Garden later. Aaron Deering is standing by. Good evening, Aaron. How are you?
Well, lads.
So, last time we spoke, which was last Friday, we were staring into a game against Shamrock Rovers, or Shams, depending on your preference. Wasn't in the greatest kind of optimism. And then you produced one of the games of the season, it has to be said.
Yeah, first 30 minutes, the intensity some of the lads were playing with, and just putting Shamrock Rovers under pressure, especially at the back, between Lopez and Grace and McGinty, just weren't that comfortable on the ball. But always kind of knew that Shams would get back into it, especially second half, because there was no way the lads could keep up that intensity. But I was really impressed with some of the new signings. Ryan O'Kane is rapid. Like, I didn't think he would be as quick as he was. And James McManus was good in midfield, tidy player on the ball. And then Patrick McLean was outstanding, I thought. Was unlucky with the Shamrock Rovers second goal, because I did think it was a push by Gaffney. But yeah, he was quite impressive. Kind of something we've been kind of missing in the back line this season. Just a bit of experienced head, so yeah, I'm kind of worried heading into, obviously, the two games, Shamrock Rovers and then Derry. But after seeing the performance against Shamrock Rovers, I wouldn't be as worried heading into tomorrow night against Derry, even though I know they're in good form.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect banana skin for you to try and catch Derry with. I actually said it last week. It definitely is. Like, from what we've seen so far, Johnny, every time a team goes on a good run, just when you start to have a bit of belief in them, that's when they seem to throw in a wobbler. And I just think Sligo, with their tails up a little bit at the moment, are the perfect team to be the wobbler for Derry at the moment.
Well, there were, like, if you look at Sligo of late, basically 2-0 up to Shamrock Rovers, were so close to beating Bowes away, which looks, an incredible result, in fairness. And, like, just the players that he's brought in, I really like his kind of his style and the players that he does sign, like the type of player that he wants to bring to them. But they like this is it's just such a perfect time to see where Derry are at. I've been very impressed with them. I definitely think they're the biggest threat to Shamrock Rovers. They're really getting going, like and you know the players just look full of confidence. This is a massive like I this is a fascinating game for me.
The only thing I'd be worried about, I'd be interested to get your thoughts, but obviously Will Fitzgerald played left back last week and I thought he did a decent job, but obviously he was being targeted because obviously that wouldn't be his natural position. So I wonder, will Derry put Duffy up against him, who, in my opinion, probably is the player of the year so far in the league? Just, I think he's really bailed Derry out, especially earlier in the season. So, yeah.
I think he plays more on the left now myself, like unless they, but like with Fitzgerald, I mean, I wasn't even aware he was playing left back. He's definitely a player you would be targeting. He doesn't look like a player that obviously would be an obvious defender.
Yeah, no, that'd be my thinking on it as well. Now, look, obviously, you could put Patrick McLean at left back, who's played there before, and then put young McElroy into the centre along with Denham. So, look, it's one of those good complaints we have. We have a couple of options now where we probably didn't have that at the start of the season, didn't have that squad depth. So, yeah, only one thing would be up front. I think Russell has to kind of make a call there because Wilson Weru obviously has only come back from injury. I thought he kind of struggled in the Shamrock Rovers game. Like he could have really put more pressure on the Shamrock Rovers centre halves, and he kind of didn't. He kind of pulled out a lot of kind of 50-50s, and so I just think he kind of needs maybe a bit of time.
That Wilson,
yeah, Wilson,
is
yeah. I think he might just need a bit of.
That was an accusation of him definitely in Galway that he wasn't tough
yeah.
enough.
No, because like especially just before Jad Hiddiqui had scored his second, like Wilson had a great chance to put us 2-0 up, and he just like you could see for whatever reason, because like, I know Stephen Bradley was sitting, like he was right in front of where I was sitting, and like he was roaring at Lopez and McGinty and the back line because for whatever reason they just weren't, between passes being too short and leaving themselves stuck, or just leaving themselves in 50-50 situations, they weren't that comfortable, and it was kind of obvious. And yet Wilson just wasn't just going gung-ho while the rest of the squad was. So obviously Kavanagh was in form at the start of the season, has gone off the boil since then. And look, Lombardo, he tries his best, but look, you can see sometimes his finishing isn't the best, and you can see that at the end of the game when he had that great chance at the end to win it. But yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I get the argument for Wilson maybe needing to come back out of sight, but is there a strong enough alternative?
Yeah, that's the problem, Shane. It's interesting because look, I think if we did have a number nine in form, I think we would be definitely, maybe getting better results. You know, those couple of games that we drew, we might have turned into wins. But look, I'm still positive the way things are going.
I'll tell you, the biggest close that I've taken. I love the biggest close I've taken from what you said there.
Baby into as well.
I'm delighted to hear that Ryan O'Kane has hit the ground running free there. That's like he is one of the best young talents that I've kind of come across when I was at Dundalk. Things have just really stalled for him. So I'm delighted to hear you say that he looked good last week.
Yeah, no, I was very impressed with him. Obviously, it took him a bit to get into the game, but once he did, he was just up and down, and he's very fast and technically good in the ball. So would hope he just is able to kick on now. Obviously, he hasn't played much football at Shells, so hopefully he'll get his opportunity to shine now this time.
Fair play.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Just before you go, Aaron, I mean, just in terms of how the season's looking now, like with Galway dropping points tonight, and I mean Cork just keeps sinking further and further, like is there a chance that you don't even have to finish ninth at this stage, or like, what's your assessment of the other teams above you? Because it feels like Cork are slipping away.
I definitely think if things go our way, we can look up rather than down. I do think, I know Waterford obviously won there this evening, but apart from Cork at times, I've thought Waterford are probably one of the worst teams to see. Just, I think their defence isn't great. Obviously, Park Hammond and stuff up front is very good for them, but the few times I have seen Waterford in person in live and on TV, they just haven't really impressed me on the back. So I would hope to catch them maybe or Galway, but I think the main thing for us is trying to put up bit of a more of a gap between us and Cork. Obviously, if we could pick up something tomorrow night, that aids it. But like, it's a massive game next week against Cork, and as bad as things are with them at the moment, even I seen that clip that you were on about as well. Like, you know, if they beat us in Turner's Cross next week, you know, suddenly it all just turns around. Or not next week, the following week after the FA Cup. You know, like, it could completely change their season around and drag us back in. Like, at the moment, for all our good play, we're still only 5 points ahead of them, which, you know, isn't much either. So you just never know in this league. That's the thing. But at the moment, the way we're playing, I'd be looking up rather than down. Fingers crossed.
Speaking of next week, Aaron, that is a tricky one. You having the FAI Cup.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously a month ago I would have been thinking, oh, like, you know, when you're kind of set in the playoff spot, you're kind of thinking this will be a good test to see where we're at even for a playoff, especially when Dundalk were kind of dropping points and Cove were coming right back into it. But yeah, it will be tricky enough. But yeah, we'll just have to see how Dundalk are going. I know Dundalk haven't scored that many goals this season. Like, a lot of the games, just from the bits I've been following, like, they're winning a lot of games 1-0 or 2-1. So I know they had a big win, I think, against Kerry there recently. But other than that, they haven't been blowing teams out of the way. So I'd be hoping that we still have too much quality. But then I think one of, like, Russell's weakness has been the FAI Cup when it comes to first division teams. Like, we've got knocked out against UCD last year, Wexford the year before. So we tend to, for some reason, lose first division sides when it comes to the cup. Even though last year I thought was, I know a draw that went on, but it was a great chance, I thought, to go far in the cup, especially with the team we had last year. So hopefully this year we can kind of give it a good go.
Yeah, thanks a million for jumping on tonight, Aaron.
No worries, lad. See you now.
Just a few bits and pieces to kind of wrap up before we're finished, Shane. I assume you were keeping an eye on things on Wednesday between Shelburne and Linfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I watched all of it. Cameron, I think Shelves will be kicking themselves that they haven't put a bit more daylight between the two sides, to be honest with you. You look at a couple of missed chances. Can't remember who late on had good save made from them. Sean Boyd's header, he would fancy himself to do a lot better off that from, I think it was a Harry Wood cross, wasn't it? I was amazed at the passive approach Linfield took. I mean, you hear people saying, you know, Shelburne absolutely dominated them and they had all the ball. That is absolutely true.
Shame. It's the time of the season, though, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is, listen, I said on paper, I don't think there's a massive gap between the two teams. But if that's the case, as soon as you have two even teams playing each other and one is out of season and one is slapped back in the middle of the season, it's a humongous...
It's a monumental challenge. Like, if you... When I was a kid, I thought summer soccer was a good idea. And I'm a bit nostalgic for winter football. But can you imagine, like, if this were flipped? You've a professional team, hard fit in the middle of the season. Linfield, like, it's early July. Like, how can they prepare for a game like this properly? They just can't. And, like, this is... it's a, like, Shells are a mid-table Premier Division team pretty much at the moment. So that's Linfield's one chance. Like, they're taking on a team that isn't really anywhere near the top of the table, but it must be really difficult to set yourself up. And David Healy admitted as much after.
Yeah, yeah, no. Look, it's no doubt it swings the odds massively, massively in their favour. I would be surprised if they haven't as much all their own way in the second leg, though. Linfield, as I say, to me, Shelburne's domination of the ball was as much about Linfield's decision to allow Shelburne to dominate the ball. They clearly came with their stall set out that we're going to let them have all the ball. We don't think that they're that creative. We think we can hold them out, and we think we can possibly get a nil all draw with this, or worst case scenario, 1-0. They're absolutely...
Will it not suit Shells down to the ground next week, though? Like, will it not suit them absolutely massively? Just sit in and have that pace in the break?
Yeah. I think so. And you look at the impact that... You look at the impact that Sean Boyd had and how well he did in it. I think he could be an absolute key player for them. That, like, if he just gives them that out ball and can make the ball stick or get those flick ons, yeah, I think you make a very good point. All I'm saying is I don't expect Shells to dominate possession in the manner that they did this week. Do I expect? But I would fully expect them to go through. Didn't see any of last night's Cameron, to be honest with you, due to me not being an illegal streamer.
No, it's our old friend, Solid Sport.
Well, it was... So what a name, by the way, Solid Sport. I was like, does it do exactly what it says on the tin? Solid Sport. Like, it's just, lads, what are we going to call ourselves? How about, I don't know, Solid Sport? Yes, it'll do. As for the game itself, like, I'll give one thing to Aidan Keane, Cam. Like, he has been having a shocker. He hasn't scored since May. His confidence is gone. He's saying, you know... refuting suggestions that he's unsettled. Like, I'm sure he's not that happy, but he absolutely grabbed the ball and blasted into the bottom corner. There was so much downside to that penalty situation. I didn't think Lithuanians were great, but fair play to Aidan Keane for taking the responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. It leaves them with a 1-0 advantage going over to Lithuania next week, and we will watch that with bated breath. It remains to be seen whether we'll have a League of Ireland late night next Friday, just because of the Cup and very little action apart from the European game. So I would have expected Shane Kennedy to maybe jump in tonight and give his thoughts and talk apart, but maybe it's half time for him too. So maybe he's waiting until we see if we get through from a Shell's perspective. But until whenever we reconvene, Shane Keegan, we got there in the end.
Super stuff, Cameron. Fair play.
And Johnny Ward, I assume that you're on the train?
I am, yeah, just arriving at my destination. But sometimes the journey is better than the destination, even if on this bit of space we seem to go off the rails an awful lot.
Oh, wow, God.
You having that one, son?
That is...
Top class, JW.
Oasis could have ridden that crap.
Yeah. Honestly, that is... I'm almost glad we're not back next week. Don't forget, automated ticket barriers are in operation at that station, Johnny. So just be aware of that. But thank you, Shane. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you to everybody who's jumped on tonight in League of Ireland late tonight. Just to bring you through tomorrow's action, there is that game, of course, at the Showgrounds between Sligo Rovers and Derry City. 7:45 kickoff in that one. Full round of fixtures in the Women's Premier Division. It's back tomorrow, folks. So we've got Waterford against Cork City, Shells taking on Bowes, Galway United, Sligo Rovers, Wexford against Athlone Town again, and Treaty United, Shamrock Rovers. One game in the First Division tomorrow, Longford Town against Kerry. That kicks off at 7:30. Enjoy the weather. Stay safe. Keep yourself hydrated over the next couple of days until we meet again. Thank you very much.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.